Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Just a reminder that there is a dish out there with, if you want to donate to IDES to help with relief from Hurricane Harvey. I'm sure that in the next week or two they'll be working with churches in Florida as well, so probably next week we'll leave it out there for and put it down for Irma. So if you want to donate for that, you can keep that in mind as well. And you know, I know we can't donate everything. We can't donate all the time because while, you know, God has blessed us and does bless us richly, we all still have the things that we need to take care of personally, and there are still needs in our own area that we can help with. But as you see in the bulletin, the Thanksgiving baskets time is coming up shortly. So, and we do our own benevolence fund every month. But if you want to give to hurricane relief and you're looking for some place that you know the money is going to be well spent and is going to go to the proper things, we support IDES every month, and part of the reason is because they do use that money and put that money into places where it is being well spent. And there's just a little bit of information back there as well on how they disperse those funds when they come in. So if you just have that question, it's there as well. We're starting a new sermon series this morning, and we're going to call it Just Not Playing Church. Because, you know, too often we come and we come on Sunday morning and we just go through the motions. It's as if we know what's supposed to happen, and so we just come and we sit down and we do what is supposed to be done, and we know when we're standing, we know when we're sitting, but it's not just about going through the right motions, and it's not just about saying the right things at the right time. And it's okay if we put offering at the end of the worship service and do it there, or we change up some song orders. You know, all of that stuff is only the form. But what's important is the things that we do. And I just want us to look, and I want us to see why we do the things we do, and to say, you know, if you're going to have to look for another church somewhere down the road, these are the things that you should look for. Because here's what I know, when we want to go someplace, when we want something in particular, we generally know ahead of time what it is we expect, and we choose where to go based on that. You know, for example, most of us wouldn't get up every morning and go to the car shop, the car repair shop, to drink our cup of coffee in the morning. Most of us wouldn't go to the pharmacy to try to have surgery. Yet after we have surgery, we would probably go to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription to help with the pain or to help keep infections away. You wouldn't go to the school cafeteria if you wanted to get something good to eat. Now, you might go to visit somebody at the school and sit down and eat lunch with them, but, you know, if you want to get something good to eat for lunch, you're probably going to find a good restaurant to go to. And even a bad one might be better than the school cafeteria, I don't know. But in each case, we know what it is that we're expecting to get. And so we decide to go to a certain place based upon what it is that we need. And so for the next several weeks, we're just going to discuss some of the things that you can expect from a good church. Some of the things that help the church to be successful. And whether that's this church, and I give you a promise that these things that we're going to look at over the next several weeks are things that we make a priority of. Things that are a priority in my ministry. But each one of them, I believe, is a primary building block for the church. For the church to be doing what God has called us to do, and for the church to be successful at doing that. And one of those primary building blocks, probably the primary building block of what the church does corporately, is the sermon. The sermon, if we look through the Old or the New Testament, we find that the church, or the primary way that the church dispersed the message was through something very much like a sermon. They spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this manner. You know, the early church, the apostles and Paul, the primary way that they proclaimed the message was through a sermon. Jesus, when He was walking on this earth and was promoting the kingdom of God, you find that much of what He did was done as a type of sermon. The sermon continues to be the primary method of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to see the necessity of that. And we're going to look at the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, to see what he has to say about the importance and the necessity of preaching. Romans chapter 10 is where we're going to be this morning, beginning at verse 9. If you've got a Bible, I'd love to have you open it up to that, Romans chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, if you've got your Bible on your smartphone or a tablet of some kind, that'd be great. If you don't have a Bible at all, there's Bibles in the pews or the seat backs in front of, or seat bottoms in front of you, if you want to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. Beginning with the 9th verse, this is what Paul writes to the church at Rome. He says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that is the gospel message. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was dead and He was raised from the dead, and that you will be saved. It says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. I was going to wear sandals this morning, but I was afraid Brenna would get mad at me. So you could all see my beautiful feet. Paul goes on. He says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You see, Paul says that there is a primacy. There is a primary need for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about that in two different forms, and we're going to look at the other one coming in a few weeks. We're going to talk about evangelism, but this here, one of the things that Paul is talking about is what we are doing right now. When somebody stands and they will expound from the Scriptures, and they will take things from a message that was written 2,000 to 3,500 years ago, and take that and give you the understanding of what it says, and then help you to understand how to apply it to your life. This morning, I'm not going to tell you that one form of preaching is necessarily the way to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that every sermon has to be expository. I'm not going to tell you that the only way to preach is to preach as a story. Because if you've listened to me preach over the last few years, you know if I'd said that, I'm not preaching. I don't tell stories very well. But here's what I want you to know, and here's what we want to see as we work through this passage together this morning, is that as long as a sermon is biblically based and biblically centered, that's a sermon. Everything else is just a form of communication. But if it's called a sermon, it is going to be biblically based and biblically centered. But I can promise you this, as you come on Sunday morning, week after week, you're probably going to hear expository sermons more often than not. And by that I mean this, that we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, probably over several weeks, we're going to look at several passages that follow one after the other, and we're going to look at a section of that, and we're going to just look at what it means and how to apply it to your life. Pretty straightforward. Because I believe that while there are different ways to preach, the most effective way to help teach you how to understand the message of Jesus Christ and how to really live what it says is to simply work through the Scriptures one after another. Now that said, the next few weeks we're going to not be looking expositorily as far as one sermon after another from the book of Matthew or from the book of Romans. No, rather we're going to be looking at several different concepts and thoughts, but they will still be expository sermons. The first thing that I see as I look through this passage that Paul writes to the church at Rome is this, is it's the necessity of biblical preaching. The necessity of preaching what the Word of God says. Because what Paul says is this, he says that the primary reason that we preach the gospel is because this is the method that God has chosen for the spreading of the gospel. He says, how can they believe in whom they have not heard, and how can they hear unless someone sings a good song? Now, how can they hear unless somebody writes an effective poem? Now, how can they hear unless somebody writes a good science fiction novel? As much as I like music, and as much as poetry has a way of touching the heart, as much as I like good writing, Paul says that they cannot believe in the name of Jesus Christ unless somebody preaches, unless somebody expounds the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to know. God could have chosen any method He wanted. He could have chosen to say, unless they sing a good song. And there is some great theology in music. And there is a way that music touches us that some other things don't. And in fact, what I want you to understand is probably you'll remember more of the songs that we sang this morning than you will the message I preached today. I know that. Statistically, preaching is really not a good thing. I mean, if you were looking to put your money into something and say, we're going to get a good return on this, preaching isn't it. It isn't today, it isn't a great means, and it never has been, but it's the means that God chose. Because when we begin to preach, we're called to direct people to someone rather than to step outside of His plan. You see, my goal and my purpose isn't just to give you a bunch of information, though we do provide information. My goal is to point you to Jesus Christ. Because here's what I know. That sometimes people come in here and they don't know why they're here in the morning. Somebody invited them and tricked them into coming. Somebody drugged them along and said, you have to go. Somebody just happened to find their way in. But here's what I know. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people who don't know Him often have unexpected encounters with Him. You know, most people don't go out and say, you know what, I'm looking for this today. I'm looking for Jesus today, and I wonder where I can find Him. They might be going out and saying, you know, I have this hole in my life and I'm looking for something to fill it. And they come in and we show them Jesus. And seekers have these unexpected encounters. The other thing I know is this, is that there are places around the world and there are times when people are really seeking God and they don't live somewhere where there is a lot of opportunity to hear the gospel, and they pray that God will show Himself. And in their prayers and in those times after those prayers, God shows them where to go. He tells them who to look for. He doesn't just give them the information. He points them to someone. Someone like you and someone like me with flesh and bones that breathes and speaks. He points them to someone and says, there is a person that can tell you about Jesus Christ. God could have chosen whatever means He wanted, but He uses us. How can they hear unless somebody preaches? And it's also because it's Jesus' authority. We go not on our own authority, but we go on the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 28, just before He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And He looks at His disciples and He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. He says that all of the authority is His. And then He says, go. Go. He takes the authority that has been given to Him and He transfers a portion of it to His disciples and He says, now you in My authority, in My name, in My power, you go and proclaim the name. You go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He gave us the authority. And our authority is to go and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all the nations. And so I will without exception and without apology, I will stand here and I will preach and I will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. But Paul says this as well. He says, you know, we preach, but we have to be teaching the truth. We have to be teaching the truth. There are a lot of things that we can teach, but we have to be teaching the truth by the words we speak and by the deeds that we do. When Paul's talking about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, he isn't talking about the way my feet look. But rather, he's talking about how good it is when somebody comes and you're waiting for the good news. You're waiting for the promise of what is to come. And somebody comes and he says, the time has arrived. The time is now. And they could have the ugliest feet in the world, but it is still a beautiful sight when they show up. And Paul is saying to the church at Rome, he says, how beautiful it is to somebody who needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ when somebody comes to them and says, let me introduce you to the one who can take care of your needs. And suddenly they are beautiful. And we show people by the way we live and the way that our deeds match up with our words, and we teach the truth. And we make the truth applicable. We make it so that you can take the truth of the gospel and you can apply it to the situation of your life. Sometimes I will do it by sharing a piece of my life. Sometimes I will do it by sharing something that I know is going on and how we deal with that and how we handle that. We take the truth and we make it applicable, so that you can apply the lessons of the truth to your lives. And we also try and we attempt to connect the different truths together. You know, Jesus is walking down the road to Emmaus with the two disciples on Easter day, and He begins to teach to them from the Scriptures that the Messiah had to suffer and die and that He would raise from the grave. Jesus began with the Old Testament. He began to connect the Scriptures to show them the truth and to show them how the truths connected one to another. And at the end of that, as they were breaking bread, their eyes were opened and suddenly the whole thing began to make sense. It's kind of like when you're doing a dot-to-dot and you think you know what's coming and you make the next move and wow, that's not where I expected that to go. And you finally get to the last dot and you connect the last dot and you look at it and you say, ah, I see it now. Well, that's what we do in preaching, and that's what I attempt to do in preaching, is to connect the dots one after another so that you can see how the Scriptures work together and how they fit one with another, and how, at the end of the day, to study the Word of God on your own. Because this is the purpose of preaching. And here's what I want you to know. Like I said, I don't think that there is any one 100% right way to preach the gospel. Because at different times and in different places, different methods have been effective. And at different times and in different places, different means are necessary because of the way people think and the way people act. But if we're going to teach the truth, it has to be based upon the Bible. There are a lot of people who stand in a place like this and they preach a lot of pop psychology. They teach a lot of pop psychology. But I want you to know, if you're going to look for a church, or you want to know what we're going to do at this church, we're going to preach the Bible. My primary source and my primary way of saying this is how things work is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the Word of God to us. It will be systematic, meaning that there will be a purpose and a reason for each sermon, and they will connect to one another so that week after week you're getting the same truth built one upon another so that it all makes sense. If you are going to build a house, you don't want to start with the third story and then work on the basement and then come up to the second story, and you don't want to put in windows before you have the house wrap on. You want to do it systematically. Well, the same thing is true with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to work on it, and we need to understand it in a systematic purpose and a systematic plan, so that week after week we're building on what we already know. And it will be for training, and it will be for application. Because we have to be growing. Which brings me to the second thing that I see as Paul writes this. He says that it isn't all for those who don't know, but some of it is for the growth of the believers. We preach the gospel, and I do it in the way I do because I believe that we need to be people who are growing. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but waiting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." I'm not going to always preach things that are comfortable. I'm not always going to preach things that you want to hear. I am going to teach the truth of God. And if you start going to a church somewhere else that's always making you feel better about yourself, it is always agreeing with you on everything you're saying, if you like everything the preacher says and you never have a question after you walk out, then you're probably not in the right place. If you're not being challenged in what you believe, if you're not sometimes disagreeing at least a little bit, and that forces you to study a little deeper, then you have to question if you're in the right place. Because sometimes the truth causes us to question what we thought we knew. And sometimes the truth breaks off some sharp edges on us. You see, and here's what I know, is that to some extent, as J.K. Jones, who is one of the ministers up in Bloomington Normal, at one of the churches up there, he says, every church drinks from the deadly poison of culture. A preacher and congregation that want the text to win recognize this and regularly consume the antidote of biblical preaching and biblical living. They both realize that what is needed in the 21st century is the unquestionable love and the uncompromising voice of God. You see, we come here and we hear the truth not because we agree with it, but because we want to grow more like Christ. And because we go out into a world and we live in a world that's full of the poison of Satan. And we come in here so that we can be renewed and so that we can receive the truth that will deal with the poison that we are infected with and affected by. And we can take that truth into our lives and we can deal with the poison of the world and we can live more like Christ. And so we come in here to grow stronger, to grow more healthy. And one other preacher said this, he says, preaching within the church both equips and challenges the church to fulfill the Great Commission. We come in here to grow stronger and to grow more equipped at doing what God has called each one of us to do, and that is to go and make disciples. We come in here to be equipped and to be challenged. We come in here to be strengthened and encouraged to go out into the world where that deadly poison is so prevalent and to tell people that there is an antidote and to help them see the good news of Jesus Christ. Because only when you and I are doing what we are called to do can we say that we're successful as a church. But we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ week in and week out from every book of the Bible so that you can see how they connect together and you can grow in your faith and in your knowledge and in your ability to preach the good news to the world. And I will do it unapologetically. And finally, Paul says this. He says that it is that we preach the good news for the salvation of everyone. How can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they confess unto salvation unless they have heard and believed and confessed because somebody preached the good news? You see, we're not going out into the world to preach the gospel and forcing people. We cannot coerce anybody into the kingdom of God. You can't make somebody else a follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot save anyone else. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot coerce anyone into the kingdom of God. But we can give them an explanation of the gospel, and we can give them an invitation to the kingdom. And when we live in accordance to what we give them as an explanation and an invitation, we are giving them the opportunity to say, there is something about this message that they're sharing with me, something that I need to hear, something that I need to know. And when we share that in a way that is loving and a way that is kind, but a way that is truthful and straightforward, not everybody is going to respond, but some people will. Some people will say, you know what, that makes sense. It's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, as he begins this letter to the church at Rome. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation. This is what Paul is saying. He says God's provision for the problem of sin is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel is God's provision for sin, and the power of God is the gospel. It is the power over sin. God's provision for the problem of sin is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of salvation for everyone. There is no other way that somebody can come unto God except for through Jesus Christ. How can they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless somebody preaches? We preach the gospel here, and we teach you and help you to learn to take the gospel to others, because they cannot find salvation without somebody to preach. Another preacher, Jerry Vine, says this. He says, Jesus finds people dead and He leaves them alive. Everybody who meets Jesus is changed for the better. Everybody who meets Jesus is changed for the better. That is the message of salvation, is that you can meet Jesus and life, your life, can be better. It doesn't mean without problems, but it means that your life can be better. The mission of the church cannot be fulfilled without preaching. Preaching that does not communicate the gospel clearly and that does not explain the meaning of the text of Scripture to Christians so as to equip them and fulfill the church's mission will result in a spiritually dwarfed church and a truncated witness to the world. So you see, no matter what I preach, no matter who you listen to preach, you must seek biblical preaching. Well, there are many ways to proclaim the good news. There is only one good news. There are plenty of places to get good advice in life, but there are a few places to get good marriage advice, but there is only one place. There is only one place to get the real spiritual advice that people need. And God has ordained that that place is to be the church. And to get that message, the church is supposed to proclaim, to preach the Bible. And so every Sunday you'll come and I will open the Scriptures and we will read from the Bible. And then we will preach from the Bible and connect the dots of the Scriptures so that you can see how it affects and impacts your lives and the lives of others. And every week we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because it is the power of salvation, every week we will offer an invitation for you to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ and to come into the kingdom, to acknowledge the rule and the authority of Jesus Christ as the sovereign of the universe. And every week we will send you out equipped with the message to take to a lost and dying world that needs the antidote for the poison of sin. And I will do it unapologetically. If I don't like what the message says, I'll preach it anyway. If you don't like what the Scriptures say, I'll preach it anyway. Because you can listen to me and I don't care. But you have to choose if you'll listen to God. And I am going to speak God's Word to you. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to offer you that invitation. That invitation to come and begin a relationship with Him, because He is the only means of salvation. There is no other way to God except for through Jesus Christ. And if you need to begin that relation, I'd love to visit with you about that. I'd love to walk you through the steps of what the Scriptures say we have to do to be in a relationship with Him. If you've already been down that path and you're ready to make that commitment, that decision this morning, I'd love to celebrate that with you in the waters of baptism. The waters may not be the warmest, but you give us 20 minutes and we'll have the baptistry full. And we're ready. We're ready. We have towels and robes and all kinds of things. We're ready. 20 minutes if you need to make that decision this morning. But this morning, if you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I want you to know and what I want you to be doing. And that is coming every Sunday morning, prepared and ready to hear a sermon that will equip you to take the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. And this week I want you to take that message to the world, that Jesus Christ is the antidote for sin. And there is no other name that can do that for people. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Do you believe that this morning? Will you live that this week? Let's stand together as we sing. And I invite you, if you need to make a commitment this morning to come, if you just need somebody to pray for you this morning, you can come as well, and one of the elders will come and pray with you, or catch us after church, and one of us will be glad to stop and pray with you. Let's stand together. Or you're already standing. Let's sing together.